Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live. This is the Rose Colombo, and I welcome everyone from around the world. Colombo Chronicles Live is for people who are seeking information and knowledge of human interest, and human interest affects human beings, you and me and our families, friends, neighbors, people around the world. And so this is what we do. We bring on experts and authors, and sometimes they're both experts and authors, and from around the world who talk about their particular expertise. And it's a myriad of topics, from the Constitution to corruption to the mafia to diamonds to health care to animal rights, human rights. It's almost any topic that is of human interest with these experts and authors from around the world. And they can come from any walk of life. They can be community leaders. They can be authors. They can be experts in their field. They can be politicians. They can be congressmen. They can be assemblymen. They could just about be anyone who has a message for you and me. And that is very, very important for us to actually know about. If we're going to improve our lives, we need to listen to other people who have great information to improve our own self-worth and encourage us to move up in the world, because there's so much to learn that one lifetime is not enough to learn everything. So thank God for all the experts and authors out there who took the risk and the step to reach their American dream or their dream from around the world. Today we have a really special guest. His name is Jerry Hauser. He's returning, and that isn't like a house. It's Hauser, and that isn't Jerry with a J. It's Jerry with a G. Jerry Hauser, Hauser. He is the president of Hadar Diamonds in beautiful San Diego, and he is an expert on diamonds in his family business, Hadar Diamonds. That's Hadar. Hadar Diamonds. You can find him online, in fact, and his business, Hadar Diamonds. And with Valentine's coming up, he's going to give us expert information about buying diamonds. So if you have someone special in your life and you're looking to buy a diamond for Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, birthdays, Christmas, whichever holiday you're choosing to buy a diamond or for an engagement, you will not want to miss this message, because you do not want to get ripped off. And there's lots of people who are willing to rip you off, and because we know very little about diamonds, only what we're told. So he'll be coming on soon. But I have a topic that I wanted to talk about before our very special guest enters into the world of authors and experts. And it's an article that's entitled, Bring in the United Nations, Bring in the UN to Solve Chicago Genocide. Boykin says. And this is written by Kim Jansen, who is a contact reporter for the Chicago Tribune. I was in Chicago last year, and I've been there a couple other times, not in the inner city where they're shooting everybody, but Chicago is really beautiful, and they really need to clean up this problem because it's got fantastic shopping, fantastic architecture, fantastic places to go and see, and the restaurants and the food are absolutely fantastic. And the nightclubs, if you like to listen to music, live music and dance, hey, that's the place to do it. So, yeah, I'm concerned about Chicago because I happen to like Chicago. President Donald Trump is what we're going to talk about right here. President Donald Trump's implicit threat to put the National Guard on the streets of Chicago to tackle the city's violence problem attracted widespread ridicule earlier this year. But if the soldiers were instead wearing the sky blue helmets of the United Nations peacekeepers, there might not be such a problem, according to Cook County Commissioner Richard Boykin, who flew to New York on Thursday to discuss what he described as quiet genocide in Chicago's black community with the United Nations Assistant Secretary General for Peacebuilding Support, Oscar Fernandez Tarenko. The United Nations has a track record of protecting minority populations, Boykin told Inc. before his meeting. There was tribal warfare between the Tutsis and Hutus in Africa, and they deployed peacekeeping troops there to help save those populations and reduce the bloodshed. We have to do something. Black people in Chicago make up 30% of the population, but 80% of those who are killed by gun violence. They are killing their own people, their own black people, Americans in their own communities, which is really stunning. And he calls it a genocide. When he was asked how that might differ from sending in the National Guard, Boykin said, "The difference is I'm not sure that the National Guard is so used to peacekeeping and a peacekeeping role. The United Nations is trained in this. We don't need foreign troops on our soil, is my opinion, personally. So this article caught my attention. I do not want the United Nations getting a hold of our country and patrolling us on our streets. That's why we have a National Guard, and that's why our Constitution calls for all Americans to be armed in case the President of the United States needs more help aside from the U.S. military, law enforcers, ICE, Border Patrol, TSA, sheriffs, police, and the National Guard, and we would be called the militia if it came to that. And it doesn't make any sense to bring the United Nations troops into the USA, in my opinion. In fact, that is what our U.S. military is and our law enforcers that patrol the borders are trained to do, defend our borders and protect Americans from murder, genocide, rape, pedophiles, etc. So you'd welcome foreign troops on the streets of Austin, North Lawndale, Inglewood, and Roseland, Commissioner? I'm talking about whoever the United Nations would decide to send in, Boykin responded, adding, I think that the Assistant Secretary General may have some ideas outside of sending in the troops. He may have some ideas about how we get to peace in these communities. Well, I have an idea. Why not send in the military or the National Guard and arrest anyone who is a criminal, a repeat criminal who is involved in these gangs, and dismantle the gangs and make it illegal in America to belong to a gang, period, which I've thought about for a very long time. Because gangs aren't just in Chicago. And now we have cartels entering our country. We have traffickers. We have radicals, ISIS, Hamas, terrorists. Everybody's coming in through the open borders. So where do they head? They head into the inner cities because they don't have any money. So now they're going to commit more crimes like organ harvesting, killing people for organs and selling them on the black market and so forth, trafficking women and children. I mean, there's a lot of money. It's a multi-billion dollar business that's been created, and it's happening because of open border policies. So we can't wait for the mayor to put another 1,000 police officers, he says, on the streets, and I'm not so sure that's going to be the panacea. Anyhow, said Boykin, who added that he wanted local officials to sit down together to come up with a solution. It's been a total devastation of the African-American community, he said. Asked Wednesday about Boykin's plan to involve the United Nations, Mayor Rahm Emanuel did not respond directly, but noted improvements in crime statistics and said he was working to ensure that people feel a sense of security in every neighborhood. So there you have it. This Commissioner Boykin wants to bring in the United Nations to the inner cities of Chicago and solve the Chicago genocide, which is black-on-black crime. It's so dangerous that many of the police are afraid to go into those neighborhoods. And so, therefore, you need to bring in either the military, in my opinion, or the National Guard. And that's that. Put in curfews. Put that area under martial law and curfews. And watch how the crime diminishes. And as I stated, the solution is to pass a law that it is illegal in the United States of America to belong to a gang, period. A criminal gang. And on that note, we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts. And boy, do we have a wonderful guest coming up for you. If you're at the beginning of the show, I stated that Jerry Hauser, and that's not like Hauser, it's not H-O-U-S-E-R, it is Jerry with a G, G-E-R-R-Y, Hauser, H-A-U-S-E-R. And he is the president of Hadar, H-A-D-A-R, Diamonds in beautiful San Diego. And he is the expert on diamonds, and he's going to tell us why and how not to get ripped off when we are spending our hard-earned dollars to please our loved ones by buying them a beautiful diamond. So we're going to be back in just a moment. So don't touch that dial, and you're listening to Columbo Chronicles Live with the Rose, Rose Colombo.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hi, we're back on Colombo Chronicles Live. This is Rose, Rose Colombo, and we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts, which we do every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m., prominent people from around the world who have something to say, information, knowledge that we all need as human interest, and to help us become more knowledgeable and make better choices and better decisions. So let's say hello to our very special guest, Jerry Hauser. Hi, Jerry. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank God. At least I think I am.
Sounds good.
How is it in beautiful San Diego? What's the weather like?
Oh, boy. I don't want anybody to shut their radio off when I give you the temperature, but right now, and I'm looking at a thermometer barometer type thing, skies are relatively clear. The temperature right now is 71 degrees right now.
Oh, wow.
And it's just some little white clouds coming up from over the horizon. Now, do you want me to send pictures?
Of course. It's so beautiful out there. I love it. I love visiting San Diego. So
come on
tell
down.
I intend to do that. How about telling us, I heard a secret that you were going to be, or you're in the process of writing a book all about diamonds, and you are one of the world's experts, and very beloved, very trusted, very honest. So tell us, before we talk about your book, how in the world can we ever trust a seller of diamonds?
That is a very difficult question, especially for me, because, you know, I'm in the trade. However, I've written before, I've been published, I can go on and on with stories, and I get that question many times. It's almost like having your car fixed in some weird, tiny little town, where you get stuck in a dirt road someplace, and then somebody comes out to tow your car and then fix it. You don't know what's going to happen to your car, and that's pretty much the same analogy when it comes to buying or selling diamonds. Because we do buy diamonds from people, but when I would say the very, very best way before anybody purchases anything for a large amount of money is to check out their reviews. And I think it's great that we have companies like Yelp and Facebook and other companies that post reviews, whether they be good ones or bad ones. Another very good source is to check out the Better Business Bureau in your area. There's a lot of people, when they get stung, will just go to the BBB rather than post a review. So I think that would be the safest and best ways. Always buy a diamond that's outside of a ring or some jewelry, an earring or whatever, because a lot of times in the trade we can hide an inclusion by, you know, slipping a prong over it, and make sure the diamond is very clean. So any jeweler worth his weight in salt will have a microscope that blows up to, you know, 50 power, maybe more. And that's how the grading labs, they look at a diamond under, let's say, 30 to 50 power, and then they reduce it down to 10 power to see what's left, and that's how they do their grading as far as clarity goes. So that would be the best recommendations, is to be able to see the diamond and then check the reviews.
Very good. And another question is, you've been in the diamond business for almost 40 years, and you're a graduate of New York University, and then you got started in the jewelry business in New York City, and then came west to settle in San Diego several years ago. So how did you get interested in the diamond business?
Well, I have two uncles, should rest in peace, that were in the trade, and I used to work for them. They were had a cutting factory, and I should say diamond cutting factory. but anyway, yeah, the I used to be a runner in between semesters at school. And so I used to carry diamonds across the street on 47th Street. I used to go as far as Bergen County, New Jersey, and into the Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Delaware areas. So, I mean, that's my intro to it. And, of course, I became very intrigued. I mean, it'd be very hard for anyone who has any level of sensitivity to not be attracted to a diamond, whether it be to wear or just in awe or appreciate something that nature created. So, you know, all diamonds are nothing more than crystals. It just happens to be the hottest form of wealth on the planet. It cuts steel. We have industrial diamonds for that, but I'm sorry, I'm getting off on a tangent. But anyway, that's you know, I just gravitated towards it. And then the Japanese people in particular, they were making tons of money back in the late 60s and early 70s. And my uncle sent me out here, you know, and I used to show, not necessarily the diamonds, but I used to sell GIA certificates, and these folks would buy off the certificate, and we shipped the diamonds. So they did, these people that were buying did not have to go to New York. At that time, L.A. was a very small diamond center. So we short-stopped them and saved them 5 hours in travel and a lot of good golf. So that's how we got into it.
Yeah, I know they like to golf a lot. So what about, they were buying up a lot of golf courses as well as diamonds, in fact. And so,
yes.
And so would you say even today that diamonds are a girl's best friend since Valentine's Day is coming up?
Yes. These trends seem to be hand-me-down trends. The interesting thing is that the newer generation, a lot of folks that are getting engaged, they want different shaped diamonds than what people bought before. And larger is always better, except if a gal is very kind of a shy lady, somebody that doesn't wear a lot of bright colors or designer jeans and Michael Kors watches and, you know, things like that. They would offer a smaller diamond. But anyway, yeah, it's very popular. The most popular cuts today are shapes with curves, like ovals, cushions, pear shapes. It used to be just the most traditional. It used to be the round-cut diamond. But, you
right.
know, trend style, just like in clothing.
Well, one good thing about diamonds is that, and gold is that you can always, if you're in, you know, dire straits, you can always sell diamonds and gold so to get a little bit of money back, right?
You are right, Rose, and I'll tell you something. Most people poo-poo diamond investments. Now, I don't get up on a soapbox and tell people all the reasons why they should buy diamonds, and one of them being an investment. But the main thing to know is that Europeans and now Asian folks are buying diamonds for investment. It is the most portable, most concentrated form of wealth. I mean, no shoulders goes off if you're carrying $10 million to an airport. But having said that, the liquidity aspect that you brought up is something that we do. I don't want to sit on the phone here, just keep talking about myself. That's not right. But I can tell you, as a member of the New York Diamond Dealers Club, in good standing, we liquidate diamonds for everybody. You don't have to be in the trade. The Diamond Club in New York is similar to the New York Stock Exchange is to stocks. And so,
wow, we didn't know that.
Yeah, well, there's a cash market. It's a it's like any other commodity. You know, diamonds are a commodity also. So, I mean, it's a bid price and an asking price. And then you hear about the haggling that goes back and forth, which is more prominent inside the diamond club, is that people pick on diamonds for different reasons. They'll say, well, it may only be a white inclusion, but it's in the table. It should be off to the side, so it's worth less money. And then they banter back and forth, and that's basically, and then this, the grading can be very subjective. And so, you know, one person sees it one way, and the seller sees it another way, and goes on and on. So that's where the haggling comes in. But, yeah, that's a cash market, and diamonds can be liquidated. We work on a 6% commission. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, even when single moms are, you know, in dire straits, they if they have any diamonds or gold or silver, they can pawn it, too. And then if they make the payments, they can get their diamonds and jewelry back. So it is, you know, it is a value. I mean, many women have actually fed their kids that way during hard times.
Mm-hmm. I understand, though. We receive so many calls for people telling us why they're selling or what they want to buy and why they're buying. It's a much more communicative generation today. Most of our clients are people who are getting engaged, and it's more and more the younger generation is going that route.
So would you say when a couple comes in to buy a diamond that the female or the male has more say on which diamond to purchase?
That is an extraordinarily interesting question. Everything is based on personality. But by nature, the lady wants to make the decision. And the man, or young man, or any age man, some of those folks want to make the decision. And that's kind of depriving the lady of her choice. I mean, it's only a diamond. It's not like wearing a half a bikini, you know. So I guess where
they
I'm coming from.
They do that too,
you know. Really? Well, tell me where, right?
Southern California, they do.
Really? I've been living here so many years. I never found those places. But anyway, but now that you tell me that, I'm going
to
run out and do
beach.
It. You got, oh, okay. That's
summertime at the beach.
Okay. anyway, yeah. I'm sorry. I broke stride here for us. But no, the gal really, and when I'm in front of people and our representatives, we basically let the guy know that, look, you know, if you pick out her diamond and she doesn't like it, you have two things. One is when you don't throw the garbage out, 10 years later she's going to remember it and get angry because she's not wearing the diamond she wanted. And you picked it out. And you're making too many decisions. You know the drill. It goes on and on. They say, you know, and so men, I'm able to tell them things like, you know, what happens if she picked out a rose gold wedding band for you that was only 2 millimeters wide? You know, would you wear it? So, you know, would you be happy wearing it? So these, you know, there's ways, it's always better for both people to be there because it's interesting how one will see something, the other one doesn't, or somebody likes one better than the other and they discuss it. Because
I know a
be
young girl who, I know a young girl who was her fiance picked out the diamond and she was so disappointed because she thought it was too small. So she went down and she had it exchanged for a bigger diamond. Because you're right,
well,
you know. I mean, you're right. If you don't get the diamond you want, you're disappointed, right?
I don't know how that marriage is going to exist. Because I believe most gals have super great memories. And it's like the big fish story, you know. It started off as a little thing. or a smaller item, and then it became a big, big, great big thing. And people harbor onto their feelings that they grow sometimes. But anyway, so yeah, it's I believe there. My children, my grandchildren, we put aside diamonds for them. And knowing that there's liquidity available, that's what we do.
That's a good idea.
Not saying all diamonds. The highest quality diamonds, and it depends on the sizes and so on. They have a better appreciation since the Great Depression than almost all other investments. So,
is it the clarity or the size of the diamond? Is it the clarity or the size of the diamond that matters more, or both?
They both, and you can throw in the color and the cut. Some natural diamonds are milky or oily. They can have a nitrogen defect. The lab-grown stones is another story. We don't carry that. There's reasons for it, but that's not what we're discussing today, I guess. But anyway, having said that, it's a combination of things. And I'll tell you something. The shape and size and the appearance of the diamond can be different from one person to the next. It's not just. It really more and more goes about somebody's personality, about the size of the diamond. Somebody is very extroverted, likes to wear all this, a lot of glitz and so on. They will want bigger diamonds. It's not based on the finger size. It's just based on personality.
Personality and taste and what expectations are of the female too, I think, I mean, some women want the very most expensive they can get, and another woman is more conservative. And,
I think
it's, you're right, it's personalities and how they view things financially as well as how they want to present their diamond to their family and friends. So we're talking to Jerry Hauser, Hauser. And he's the president of Hadar Diamonds in San Diego. And where's the most popular place now where they're mining diamonds? Because I know all we ever really heard about was Africa.
Well, interesting enough, we have two classes of diamonds. We have gem quality natural diamonds, and we have industrial natural diamonds. The industrial ones are very grayish or blackish, almost like coal. And they use the cut, which is the only thing they can cut a diamond, is another diamond. So diamonds are, the industrial diamonds, they cut steel and all kinds of stuff, industrial products. But where are they mined? Nobody can really tell you scientifically. I can tell you that the best quality diamonds, the very, very best quality diamonds, come from Russia. It's a much clearer crystal. Much clearer crystal. There's usually no gray in the stone. Some crystals have gray. Some diamonds will look a tinge of gray in it, and tinges of color. The Russians, they're mined in Siberia of all places. But they have, and nobody knows exactly
who would have guessed,
what the Russians
Siberia.
Are. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'm moving to Siberia.
I don't think so.
No, I'm joking. All those beautiful diamonds. Wow.
Yes.
So then, do you remember, Marilyn Monroe singing Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend? Did you ever meet Marilyn Monroe at any time or see her in person?
Oh, many times. Oh, of course, many, many, many times in my dreams. But that was it.
You and a lot of other men, right?
That's right. That's right. And I didn't realize how short she was, and how thin she was. You know, it's not my image of a glamorous movie star. But, you know, it is what it is.
So, by the way, have you ever met Marilyn Monroe? More voluptuous. Have I what?
Yeah, I guess. I guess you can use that word. Rose, you're the best.
So tell us about your book. Is it completed? Or are you still writing it? Do you have a name for it?
Yeah, well, the name of the book is called Behind the Loop. That's L-O-U-P. Some people spell L-O-U-P-E. Basically a consumer advocate book. I was a founder of La Jolla Diamond Company here in San Diego many, many years ago. And more and more people used to come into our office and tell us these stories and how they got hurt. And then there's stories that when we were doing wholesaling, I don't know how to explain it, but the people that we sold to, not all of them, but there was, you know, quite a handful of them that sometimes they would take a GIA lab certificate and put their own certificate on it and upgrade the stone. But, you know, this I don't believe is a common practice, but I decided to write this book so people can know what to look for. You know, that to me is the key. Now, we talked about, you know, checking out reviews and things like that, but there's other things to look for. I mean, how do you know if a diamond is – how would the average consumer know that a diamond is a lab-grown diamond versus a real mine-made, mined diamond, natural diamond? How would they know the difference? They can look the same.
We probably wouldn't.
That's right.
The average person probably would not know.
No, that's right. And that's what I'm writing a book about. It's all these.
Fantastic.
There's so many technologies today. Like, I'll give you an
example.
Because
there's so many con artists out there, too. So this is excellent.
It's unfortunate. But, I think every trade has their own devils, you know, inside of it.
Oh, yeah. Government.
Well, yeah, don't put me up on a soapbox because it's so much going to be debated today in politics. No problem. That's fair is fair. Name calling isn't fair, really, is it?
Anybody.
No, not at all. But anyway, you know, it's. I think,
so actually, in your book, go ahead.
Yeah, we challenge people with our diamonds. Somebody wants a diamond. We are strictly online. We don't have a retail outlet. We never had a retail store. But the long and short of it is, people can come in and make an appointment, work by appointment. And we take text messages. We answer every text. Of course, you can call also. I'm just saying, the consumer needs to know. There's too much not to know to get ripped off. That's really the bottom line.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's
I diverted from a very good statement.
No, that's
I think
a really
I diverted
good
from
statement
your question.
And true.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. That was excellent, because my next question anyway was, who can you trust? And in your book, you're going to tell us how we can be careful and know who to trust, which is a very needed book, because there's most Americans, I would say, have no clue about the diamond.
Well, you know, the technology has changed. I'll give you as an example. This is a great example. I can give you about four of them, but I'll just give you one for the sake of time. A diamond, you know, diamond. No such thing as a perfect diamond, right? So, What happens when the diamond has a real dark, noticeable inclusion, and the color is white, and it's a great shape, and it shines, but it has this annoying looking, like a bug inside the stone? Well, with technology today, we can use a microscopic laser, okay, go in there and even wiggle around other tiny, tiny minuscule inclusions. Just wiggle the laser beam around these other inclusions and hit that dot. Hit it maybe three times. It's not going to affect the structure of the stone. You can hit it six times. It's not going to affect the structure of the diamond. But it's a microscopic inclusion that goes in there. It's a white inclusion taking out a dark black noticeable one. So you can't see it. So a person goes into a jewelry store and pays a retail price for a diamond that was not laser drilled. And we say people, and we declare it, and we use only laboratories that will declare it. It says laser drill on the comment section on the grading certificate. So we tell that you're going to save, if I can't save you 40%, shame on me.
Wow. That's fantastic. So now that we're coming to the end of our Valentine's Diamond interview, why don't you tell our audience, is Valentine's the big holiday to buy diamonds, or is it just one of them and there are others that are a better time that more people purchase diamonds?
Well, that's another interesting question. The world has changed. It used to be people were getting engaged primarily in the month of June. Now it's Valentine's Day and they get married in June brides. So
right.
It depends also, because we work and we sell in China and we sell really in Hong Kong. We can't get insurance going into mainland China. But anyway, the point is, you know, we sell to Europe, we sell different places of the world. It's all based on trends. Some gals opt for one shape versus another.
I see.
You know, it's lots of variables.
Yeah, and especially, you know, now we have same-sex marriage and we have heterosexual marriage and we have all this. So, I things have changed a lot in America for sure. And I guess you have to really look at the personalities and the people that are buying the diamonds. And
yes.
So why don't you tell us, Jerry Hauser, how can people get in touch with Hadar Diamonds and about your company in San Diego and how they can find you online or how they can contact you?
Oh, thank you. The text number, and people are welcome to call with their questions or even comments, just call. We have six people on staff, 619-572-8100. That's the call and text line. My personal email is Jerry with a G, G-E-R-R-Y, at Hadar Diamonds. Hadar is H-A-D-A-R Diamonds with an S at the end. .com. And I'd be more than happy I really appreciate this opportunity, Rose, and it's so great to talk to you again, really.
It really is great, and I'll have to get down to San Diego and say hello and have a cup of coffee and look at some of your diamonds.
Oh, I thought you never asked.
It was great talking to you again, Jerry Hauser at Hadar Diamonds, and I hope people contact you before they buy a diamond so they can be sure of what they are buying and deal with somebody who's trustworthy. Thank you again, and God bless, and have a great day.
Same to you. Thanks again very much. Appreciate you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Okay. Enjoy.
Okay. Jerry Hauser has left the building, and Again, it's H-A-D, like David, A-R, Hadar Diamonds. You can look him up and his company online, G-E-R-R-Y-H-A-U-S-E-R. And now we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to tell you, as we enter into the world of politics, doctors are committing suicide at the highest rate ever, and they are fleeing the medical profession. You will not want to miss this. No one's talking about it. No one in the MSM is talking about it. It's a serious problem for the medical profession and for the American people. So don't touch that dial.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Columbo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Columbo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to ColumboChronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Columbo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hi, this is The Rose. We're back on Columbo Chronicles Live, and I have some really important information for everyone in America. Doctor suicide rate highest of any profession in the USA. And it's written by Pauline Anderson, and it's on WebMD. And it says that one doctor commits suicide in the USA every day. One doctor commits suicide in the USA every day, the highest rate of any profession. And the number of doctor suicides, 28 to 40 per 100,000, is more than twice that of the general population, new research shows. The rate in the general population is 12.3 per 100,000. Doctors who die by suicide often have untreated or undertreated or other mental illness, a fact that underscores the need for early diagnosis and treatment, says the study researcher Deepika Tanwar, MD, of the psychiatric program at Harlem Hospital Center in New York. It's very surprising that the suicide rate among physicians is higher than among those in the military, which is considered a very stressful occupation, Tanwar says. The findings were presented at the American Psychiatric Association 2018 annual meeting. Using Medline and PubMed, the researchers looked at studies of doctor suicide that included articles published in peer-reviewed journals during the past 10 years. The results also showed that although female doctors attempt suicide far less often than women in the general population, their completion rate exceeds that of general population by 2.5 to 4 times. It also equals the completion rate of male doctors. Experts are trying to understand why the rates are so high, Tanwar says. The study shows that some of the most common diagnoses are alcoholism and substance abuse. One study showed that it affects an estimated 12% of male doctors and up to 19.5% of female doctors, a rate similar to the general population. It is more common in medical students and residents, and about 15% to 30%. I can't read that particular part, but it says that the researchers note that mood disorders among healthcare professionals are not restricted to North America studies from Finland, Norway, Australia, Singapore, and China are, and elsewhere, have shown an increase in anxiety, depression, and suicidal thoughts among medical students and healthcare professionals. Tanwar says stigma is a major obstacle in seeking medical treatment. One 2016 study found 50% of female doctors who completed a Facebook questionnaire reported meeting criteria for a mental disorder but were reluctant to seek professional help because of the fear of stigma. The researchers note that mood disorders among healthcare professionals are not restricted to North America. So there you have it. We have a serious problem of doctors who are committing suicide in America, more than the military, and around the world. Well, that's all we have time for. God bless you. God bless America. Remember, injustices can happen to you and they can happen to me, but together we can make a positive difference. And pray for President Trump and his family, who appears to be under high pressure from foreign and domestic anti-Trump supporters. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.
Hello.